You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our usual Thursday visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always good to have you with us.
It's always good to be here. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you. And you got a very nice treat in the first week of 2009, John, an extended one-on-one interview with President Bush. What did you want to know from him most, and what did he tell you?
Well, the president did have a lot to say in what I thought would be a 20-minute interview and what actually went on to 40 minutes. The president was genial, warm, and told me, among other things, his greatest contribution was his role in protecting the homeland and working with others to do that. He discussed everything from the economy to saying he would be vindicated on cutting taxes to the fact that we lost, or rather Republicans lost, the spending issue because you don't have small government in wartime. He strongly defended the bailout, saying that the idea of letting businesses fail would not work because this is a time when, if that happened, we would go into a depression greater than the Great Depression. His two Supreme Court appointees he's proud of and wished he could have made another, and his advice to President-elect Obama, enjoy yourself.
John, you mentioned that he defended the level of spending largely in the interview, as I read it, focusing on the war on terror. You also asked him about the huge prescription drug benefit added to Medicare. He's not really apologizing for it. Do you think his explanations are going to be accepted by most conservatives?
Difficult to say. Conservatives will honor the president for putting tax cuts back on the front burner, as well as for his appointments of two Supreme Court justices. But at the same time, it's very, very hard to imagine that after this country cut back on domestic spending in World War II to have more guns, that the current president said we could have guns and butter and made no effort to cut back on spending at home, and in fact was passing an addition to Medicare at the time he's waging war. Gets back to the argument of trying to have guns and butter at the same time. And I think on this point, the president will fall short.
John, obviously, we're going to have a new president in just 12 days. Earlier this week, we saw the installation of the 111th Congress. Most of the drama on the Senate side, because we still don't have a new senator from Minnesota, and we're still trying to see if Roland Burris will be seated to replace Barack Obama for the Illinois junior senator seat. Right now, it looks like the momentum is on Mr. Burris's side, which means a win politically for Rod Blagojevich. How did he pull it off?
Well, very simply, he picked a black man who, while he has lost a number of races for statewide office, is an historic figure as the first black to be elected to statewide office, and as someone who's considered distant from Blagojevich. He called on the governor to resign and for a special election to be held. He became very friendly to him when he was called to ask if he would accept appointment to the Senate. Roland Burris started off with Harry Reid and Barack Obama saying he should not be seated and Rod Blagojevich should not appoint a U.S. senator. And in the end, it turned out he is closer to seating than he was 2 days ago. Why? Well, Congressman Bobby Rush of Illinois, a former Black Panther, compared senators to George Wallace and Bull Connor for not seating the only African-American. The Congressional Black Caucus weighed heavily on behalf of Mr. Burris, and President-elect Obama now said it's a Senate matter, reversing his earlier opposition. In other words, Roland Burris and his friends look like they're closer to the Senate because they not only played the race card, they played the race deck.
Let's quickly look at a couple of folks who won't be in the Senate, or at least not for much longer. Kit Bond saying he will not seek a fifth term in 2010.
Yes, that was a big surprise because he had been laying the groundwork for another reelection bid. But the man who was once in his early 30s, the youngest governor in Missouri, said, "I don't want to be its oldest senator." Bond is 69 and he will be 70 in March. So he's stepping down. This sets up a very classic battle. Secretary of State Robin Carnahan, the daughter of a former governor and U.S. senator, is considered the Democrats' strongest candidate. Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, whom I spoke to today, is the only Republican in statewide office. All eyes are on him.
John, also perhaps a bigger surprise, Jeb Bush will not run for Senate in Florida in 2 years.
Well, a lot of the so-called glitterati who get a lot of hype in the papers are taking their names out. Jeb Bush's name in the no-go column is a particular surprise because it comes a week after his father told interviewer Chris Wallace on Fox News he'd like to see him be elected to the Senate and be president someday. Jeb Bush said he was not going to do that, that it wasn't the right time for him to re-enter politics. I'd also say that with his brother leaving office as president with low popularity ratings, maybe this wasn't the time for him, he felt, to start a political career. But at 55, he's got a lot of good years ahead of him.
John, just a few seconds left here to talk about the passing of a very prominent former senator, Claiborne Pell of Rhode Island, of whom Pell Grants are named.
Yes, that's correct. Something that helps a lot of people go to college on the taxpayers' dollar. Claiborne Pell was a fascinating person, a patrician, Foreign Service officer. He got elected to the Senate largely through personal wealth in 1960 and stayed there right up to 1996. He was never flashy. He was a total insider and someone whose knowledge of foreign countries and foreign policies was impressive. While he was someone I didn't agree with, I have to say I like the fact that he was not from the blow-dried, walk-a-mile-for-a-camera school of politicians, but very much an operator behind the scenes and an intellectual at best.
John, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you very much for being with us, as always.
As things never get dull on Capitol Hill, I'm John Gizzi.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. This is Dateline Washington.